It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. And we keep you up to date on Rachel Blackmore in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, because if she wins that on A Plus Tard, she will be breaking all sorts of records and writing new history chapters in horse racing for women. So we'll keep you informed about that. Lovely picture. I know it's probably been talked about already, but because I'm from Kildare and because it was taken on the Curragh of Kildare, I have to mention it again. It's Laura Hutton's picture on the cover of the Irish Times today. A lamb pictured at the Curragh in County Kildare. Lambing season can be a very busy time on farms, while sheep can be extra vulnerable during the first few months of the year. And it gives me an opportunity to use that lovely word, gambling. That's what lambs do in the fields this time of the year. They gamble. G-A-M-B-O-L-L-I-N-G, gambling. And it's the cutest little picture. He's peeking out through a bit of a ditch, or it looks like the roots of a tree that's been upended in a storm. And he looks so cute and innocent. Meh, meh. Little does he know about anchovies and thyme and a bit of mint sauce, or maybe minted peas and some new potatoes. He doesn't know anything about that, so he's blissfully unaware of all that culinary stuff that might be ahead of him. Speaking of culinary stuff, Clodagh McKenna, who's now a full-time feature on This Morning on ITV, will be talking to us after 4 o'clock. And she's going to be telling us how to make a restaurant-standard brunch, because we're all, you know, that's the type of thing we used to do at the weekend, treat ourselves the odd weekend. We go to the local cafe or restaurant and have poached eggs with rashers and sausages, or maybe fried eggs with rashers and sausages. Or if you're very posh, you'd have some poached eggs on with sourdough and mashed avocado. Or you might have some eggs Benedict with hollandaise sauce. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Anyway, we'll be talking to Clodagh about restaurant standard brunches after 4 o'clock. Father Brian D'Arcy, we're going to catch up with him. Loads to talk about with Brian. Front page news today, of course. McAleese claims Pope Francis raises reform only to dash it. And you've heard her on the News at One. She was on News Talk this morning. And it's the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the CDF. And they're the men who are responsible for the current controversy, and indeed they're the men who are responsible for a lot of the controversies that are emanating out of the Vatican. And Father Brian D'Arcy has had his runs in with that organisation over the years, so we'll be talking to him about that, about the long COVID, about what does the new normal look like when we're out the other side of this. What does he think about that? How can we commemorate the more than 5,000 people that have died on the island of Ireland? How do we do that? What sort of things should we do? Will it be a national day of mourning? Will it be some sort of shrine or a statue, or what will it be? So loads of things to talk about with him. And lots more on the show as well. Yesterday, Catherine was on the quiz, and she mentioned that she'd lost her husband in his 40s to a heart attack. And he had no symptoms, just gone. And I was saying, and I sort of looked it up last night just to confirm that my memory was serving me well. It's 50% of people who die of heart attacks have no previous medical history of heart complaints. So they have a heart attack and that's it, gone. And if you spoke to their loved ones, no history whatsoever. Anyway, David O'Connor sent us an email on the topic. He says, listen to your show today and you spoke to a nice lady, Catherine, who lost her husband probably in his 40s to a heart attack. You see, the problem is we are all living our lives under plenty of stress, and that plus hereditary issues means you can be hit with a heart attack from typically your 40s onwards, says David. It's probably the most unnecessary way to die that I can think of, and the collateral damage thereafter for family, especially young families, can't be put into words. I've been in the hotel industry, says David, all my life, and there's nothing more stressful than running a 24/7 business. I discovered at 30 that I had a cholesterol level of 10.5, which is as close to dropping on the spot as you will get, as 4 to under 5 is normal cholesterol level. I was on medication for 20 years. My blood pressure was always fine, but started to go up when I was 49. I went on working like an idiot that year for most of the year, not realising that at any moment I could drop dead. For my 50th birthday, my wife Anya was bringing myself and our boys to New York. And a couple of months earlier, I said I'd get a full MOT due to my medicated cholesterol and blood pressure issue. I particularly wanted an angiogram, to be sure. All was fine going for the checkup and running on the treadmill, and I was stopped halfway through as the nurse wasn't happy with the readings, so an angiogram was arranged a few days later. The cardiologist said to me as he was inserting the tube, "We don't often get people like you coming in requesting an angiogram," but I told him it was my doctor who also felt I should get it done on account of the blood pressure and cholesterol history. Cut a long story short, the cardiologist said that I had in excess of 95% blockage of the widowmaker artery. That's one of the main arteries in your heart. He said, "You would be dead before you hit the ground in New York. And only for I stopped smoking years earlier, I certainly wouldn't have made it to the surgeon's table." As a result of asking for the angiogram, I had done no damage to the heart, and the cardiologist inserted a stent while he was talking to me. And I was home that evening without even an overnight to check out the hospital food. On the way out, the cardiologist quietly said to my wife that I wouldn't have made it to New York as the flight would have killed me. No happier man kissing the tarmac when I got off the plane in New York, I can tell you. I'm seriously into windsurfing since, and it's a great way to keep your cardiovascular exercise on the go and enjoying it at the same time. Ray, there needs to be a nationwide health alert, like breast cancer, for men and women, but especially men, to ensure they know exactly what their cholesterol and blood pressure levels are at. In knowing those two levels, it is likely you either have no problem or you can be medicated with a couple of tablets daily. This is the difference between life and death, and it's so simple, really. It's quite scary the amount of people who simply haven't a clue what their cholesterol or blood pressure levels are at. Not a clue. From 40 onwards, know your cholesterol and blood pressure once a year, every year, and this will avoid unnecessary loss of young life and grieving families. If there are any issues, they can be easily dealt with. It's that simple. And that's David O'Connor, Athenry, Galway. Lucky man. And he knows he's a lucky man. And that's why he's telling his story to us, so we can tell it to you. And like, it's from 40, they're saying, men, you have to go and get the full MOT, you know, find out about your cholesterol, your blood pressure, because you can prevent. Heart attacks are very preventable. Statins, aspirin, blood pressure tablets. You know, there's millions of people all over the world on those on a daily basis. And they're preventing heart attacks. They say 40 for men and 50 for women. So go to it. Go to it. If that's struck a chord with you, act on it now. Jean Roach has been on from County Kildare. Killed, to be exact. She says, "I'm not sure it's often that you would hear of 90-year-old twins and even rarer twin priests. On this Sunday, the 21st of March, twins Father Matt Kelly and Father Joe Kelly will celebrate their 90th birthday. Father Matt is in Kill, County Kildare, formerly PP in Kildare Town. He probably gave you your first Holy Communion." I could have. I was just trying to do the maths. That's 50 years ago when I got my first Holy Communion. Father Joe is in Bayside in Sutton. Both keen golfers. They would normally be playing twice a week in Royal Dublin, but lockdown has kept them away from it. So happy birthday, Father Matt and Father Joe, 90 this Sunday. So between them, they've lived 180 years on this planet. Isn't that amazing? Cork listener has been on. I was wondering if you could give Fota Wildlife Park in Cork a mention. The park has been hit severely by restrictions and it's extensive and its existence is now being called into question. Any support would be amazing. We cannot lose this outstanding operation. Well, they did a big piece on Morning Ireland this morning with Pascal Sheehy. He was down there broadcasting live from Fota with, I think, four members of staff, and it sounded like they need help. They need help. And the zoo needed help. And what did they do? They asked people to adopt animals from the zoo. So Fota may be doing something the same. Anyway, thanks for that. And while we're down in Cork, I mentioned for one of the organisations who were winners in our charity calendars competition, just Christmas gone, Down Syndrome Cork. This Sunday, they host an online concert celebration, 21-3, to bring light to World Down Syndrome Day. And it's free. And if you on Facebook, sorry, YouTube, it's the Cork Down Syndrome YouTube channel on the night, and has performance from Brezzy, Brian Kennedy, Stephen Joe Wall of The Stunning, Claudia Buckley, Jack O'Rourke, Roisin O, The High Kings, and many, many more. We'll be performing some traditional music, musical favourites. So Cork Down Syndrome YouTube channel. And then when you go on and you enjoy it, you can donate to Cork Down syndrome. That's great, and delighted to mention that. Now, we were just going through Twitter and seeing what's happening there and what sort of questions people are asking. And Thomas Cross on Twitter, he was wondering, when you order a chipper for collection, where do you put the chips on the way home? That's a brilliant question. That's a brilliant question. 89.7% say the passenger seat and 10.3% say the boot. I can't imagine why you put them in the boot. Now, it's odd because I don't put it on the passenger seat or in the boot. I put it in the footwell. It makes complete sense. You put it in the footwell, right? And then you turn on the heat, direct it towards the footwell. Keeps it warm and you don't have smelly chip odour on your passenger seat. Like, it's perfect. I can't see, well, you know, footwell, that's the obvious answer. Not the passenger seat, not the boot. That's for everybody. That's where I thought everybody put their chips on the way back from the chipper. Anyway, where do you put yours? If I'm sure people have left them on the roof of the car, looking for the keys, put the bag of chips on the roof of the car, forget about them, get into it and drive off. So that's Thomas Cross. Alison O'Connor, journalist. She's asking the question, anyone else feel they have the same three lockdown outfits on constant rotation? When all this is over, these garments are destined for a bonfire. I think we're all, well, people who work from home, everyone has a different story, but get up, put on the tracksuit, work from the home office, put on the jeans in the top, go into work, back home, tracksuit back on, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it is the same two outfits every day for me. So three lockdown outfits for Alison O'Connor. Philip Nolan, this is my favourite from Twitter today. Philip Nolan, he writes for the Daily Mail. I know the only words many of you want to hear when this mess ends are, hi Gran, hi Granda, if you're lucky enough to have a Gran and a Granda. But Philip's favourite words that he's looking forward to hearing when all this is over.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in a few minutes.
He didn't specify that it was going to be an internal flight in the States flying over the Grand Canyon. But he just, you know, the captain of a plane speaking and you've been on it and going somewhere that isn't Ireland. Somewhere outside of your 5K zone. Somewhere that involves taking off. Somewhere that involves wearing different clothes than those three Alison O'Connor outfits that you have. I was just, what else? We enter on the tables. This might be something, yeah.
All right, excuse me, gentlemen, were you ready to order?
Yes.
Okay, let me get this ready.
Yes, I am. Yes, I want food that I don't cook myself, my wife doesn't cook, please, and that isn't a takeaway. Thank you. And you can say enjoy as much as you like. You can say enjoy when you put the cutlery down. You can say enjoy when you put the glass down. I don't care anymore about enjoy. I used to hate that word, but I enjoy hearing enjoy again. Enjoy. Yeah, and a lot of people are craving this sound. Yeah. Yeah. I heard this on the radio yesterday and it fits in perfectly. If you want a bit of atmosphere from an Irish pub and some guy with a guitar belting out a tune in the corner and his name might be John Spillane. Ah, man, John! How are you? Go on!
Well, you want to hear the talk out of the Mocky Shams and the Ferry Arms on a Saturday night? It's a Glasgow Celtic pub, all right. The walls are painted green and white. Thirsty Walk, says Christy Bark, pulling pints of porter. How's the farm, Mock? Not too bad, Mock. What are you having, Mock?
A Beatty's for the Mock and a Beatty's for the Mock. Ballygunning for the Mock and a Brandy for the Mock. A Murphy's for the Mock and a Guinness for the Mock and...
Whatever you're having yourself, Mock. Irish might be there, the crab might be there, hammer might be there, bones might be there. You might be there yourself. You might meet Noble Shepherd or the Rat Catcher. Who's that on the wacka tobacco doing the hacka in the middle of the floor? Only Robbie Parada, the Maori man. Who's that coming through the door? Kenny, Dahi, Packy, Jock. How's the form, Mock? Not too bad, Mock. What are you having, Mock?
A penis for the mock and a penis for the mock, belly going for the mock and a brandy for the mock. One piece for the mock and a Guinness for the mock and.
What are they having? Yourself, mock.
Well, the writing is on the wall from the Treaty of Arbroath, 1320, a grave and solemn oath.
So long as 100 of us remain alive, we shall not to any degree be subjects to the dominion of the English. For it is not for glory, nor honour, nor riches that we fight, but for freedom, which no man loses, but with his life.
How's the farm, Mark? Not too bad, Mark. What are you having, Mark?
A Beamish for the mock, and a Bailey's for the mock, belly going for the mock, and a brandy for the mock. Orphans for the mock, and a Guinness for the mock, and...
Whatever you're having yourself, mock.
Well, you know who you are in the Fairy Arms. Cannot pretend to be who you are not in the Fairy Arms.
Bats, Fairy Arms, John Spillane, and the late Cara O'Sullivan, and a cast of thousands in some pub in Cork. The reason I played that was I was listening to Lyric yesterday morning, and Marty played it, and he said he'd never heard it before. And I thought everybody had heard that. And then I thought, everybody has to hear that. So that's why you've been treated to that. The Fairy Arms, John Spillane, on the radio today. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Takeaway always in the boot, right? Stops the smell clinging in the car for the next 2 days. Podrick. Kate says, I've discovered if you put your fish and chips in a cooler bag, they're still hot and tasty when you get home. These are the important things, ladies and gentlemen. Sean is in Rooski. When it comes to chips, I put them on my lap. The downside is, of course, they're usually in my tummy by the time I get home. That's Sean, a grown man, in Rooski, using the word tummy. When it comes to chips, I put them on my lap. Oh, that's Sean still. I put the chips into a plastic bag, tied tight, so the heat and smell of the chips and vinegar stay in the bag. And yes, in the footwell. Ah, man after my own heart, Terence. I carry my chips under my arm. How do you drive? My husband just bought a new car, but it was his turn to pick up the takeaway from the chipper down the road. To stop the order going through his car or the boot. yeah. Sorry, I'm just reading ahead here. He hung the order on the outside on the car mirrors. Amazingly still hot when they got home. That's Christina. But your cars are to be lived in. You know, things are to be used. That's why we buy them in the first place. Chips. The only place is the footwell and blast up the toe warmer. It's the only way. Hey, Sandra, come on. There's three of us now. You've brought tears to my eyes. Didn't realise how much I was missing our old lives until the start of today's show. That's, yeah. The sounds we want to hear. If there's any more sounds you're craving that you're missing during lockdown, the pandemic, get them into us and we'll try and get a compilation of them before the end of the show. Now, Rachel Blackmore came second in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But she will be welcomed back to Killinall in County Tip and she'll get a hero's homecoming. I know that for sure from listening to Keane McCormack's report on Morning Ireland this morning. He spoke to the locals and Rachel's mother and they're all hugely proud of her. Now, yeah, our quiz of today. Hello. Thank you.
Hello.
have it, Jess. Today is the 19th of March. Anything could happen between now and 4:30. Yes, and we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that have happened on this day over the years, the decades and the centuries. And our prize today comes courtesy of Electric Ireland, who want to help us all make better energy choices, because the more of us that do that, the better it will be for the whole country. And that's why they're so excited about the launch of their smart meters price plans and all the benefits that go with them. You can search Electric Ireland smart meters to find out more. And thanks to our friends at Electric Ireland, the person who wins our quiz of today gets a new iPad. That's great, isn't it? It's a great prize. So if you want to come on and try your luck and answer 5 questions after 4:00, the first thing you have to do is answer our qualifying question, which is this. Who will Ireland face in the Rugby Six Nations match at the Aviva Stadium tomorrow? Who will Ireland face in the Rugby Six Nations match at the Aviva tomorrow? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we could be talking to you after 4:00.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
New sounds I'm missing. The sound of my mammy Angela rattling the ashes out of the range. Haven't seen her since Christmas, says Rebecca. And yeah, the footwell, heat on, keep them warm. Also, never heard that song before. Thanks for playing it, Paul and Arklow. I thought everybody knew that song. I've been longing for a certain sound for nearly 3 months, and I heard it this week. The sound of my amazing fourth class coming back to school. This week made me the happiest I've been in a long, long time. That's from Teacher Emma. That's lovely. And I think the pupils appreciate being back at school as much as the teachers do, Emma. Well, most of them do. Now, I was sitting down this morning with the back door open, reading the paper. And I was reading a piece by Hilary Fannin in the Irish Times. And the heading is, Lighten Up, the Vernal Equinox is Almost Here. Tomorrow, March 20th, is the Vernal Equinox. And that's the third version of the start of spring. I would say the 1st of February, then some people say the 1st of March, and then other people say tomorrow is the real start of spring. And she tells us when the sun rises tomorrow morning, it'll be due east exactly, and then when it sets, it'll be due west. And that's, so everything is coming into play tomorrow. It is truly spring in every sense of the word. And then it got me thinking, this time last year, we were, you know, there was a novelty about the whole lockdown. We were hearing birds for the first time. I was out in the back garden with a recorder, recording the birds, playing them for you. And I thought, that enthusiasm for lockdown is gone. Oh, I know why. Oh, yes, because it's lockdown number 3. But I forced myself to put the paper down, get up off my backside, go into the room, get the recorder and record the birds again. And yeah, that's what I did. And it's lovely. And then they said to me, what sort of birds are they? And I said, I haven't got a clue. And they said, you better ring your man from Birdwatch Ireland, Niall Hatch. He'll tell you. How are you, Niall?
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good. So this is sounds from a suburban garden.
And music to my ears, I have to say. I love birdsong. This is the time of year when it's coming back. And I'm hearing some of the usual culprits there, or the usual suspects. I'm hearing robin there in your recording.
Right.
There's a blackbird sort of clucking away there in the background. I hear blue tit, sort of that scolding call there in the back. It's just, oh, it's lovely. It's that time of year now that we're getting into the breeding season. That's why the birds are starting to sing. And we're going to hear this building up now over the next few weeks. It sort of peaks in early May. That's kind of when it's at its best. And that's, of course, when we do with the Mooney Goes Wild team, we do our Dawn Chorus broadcast.
Yeah.
So it's really popular. But right from now, any time between now and then, it just gets better and better. So I'm hoping people will listen to this in the mornings and we'll join in this celebration of
there's
nature.
There's a few ones hearing. There was a bit of variety then.
Yeah, there was. So there's a herring gull just came in there.
Yeah,
that's right. You sent me some of the clips earlier and I was able to hear there's some geese actually flow over at some stage.
Is
probably
there?
Brent geese, I would expect. Yeah, I heard them just at one point, just very briefly. There's a robin there very loudly, just very, very close to you.
What's that?
A magpie.
Oh, right.
Magpie rattling away there. There was also a dunnock in your recordings and a very nice missel thrush, which would indicate you were recording probably somewhere close to very high trees because they like to sing to the top of the highest trees they can find. So good mixture. Just shows you what you can get in a suburban garden. Yeah. And you know what? You know, it's amazing, really.
And before I got the recorder out, there was a lovely wood pigeon there as well. And the great thing about a wood pigeon is that they have that lovely timbre. There's a little bit of bass about their call. their song.
Oh, there is. There is. And actually, that's a very good way to put it. I always think of the bird songs in the Dawn Chorus as being a bit like an orchestra. And they're all like separate instruments. They're all playing their own role. And the reason for that is that they've evolved to not compete with each other over the airwaves. You know, it's like with radio stations are all on different frequencies. Right. It's so they're not being drowned out by a species that's irrelevant to them. So we're hearing the robins there, the blackbirds and all that singing you're recording. The robin doesn't care what the blackbird is doing and vice versa. It cares very much, however, what the other robins are doing. So it only is really tuned into that frequency. So that means they're able to occupy different parts of the airwaves without competing with each other. And that's, as you said, with the wood pigeon, it is kind of like that bass note to it. It just sort of cuts below everything else and isn't bothered by the high frequency. So it's really interesting stuff.
Niall, thank you so much.
My pleasure, anytime.
The odd thing about it is I didn't see one of them. Heard but not seen. Heard but not seen. We'll talk to you soon and good luck with the Dawn Chorus.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Niall. I'm going to start my own radio station. Just bird song and Colin McNamara. That'll be it. All day, every day. You can tune if you like. If you don't, I don't care. Happy enough on my own. Thanks very much there to Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland. And get out there and immerse yourself in the bird song. Now, we're still looking for people to take part in our quiz of today. An iPad up for grabs, thanks to the good people at Electric Ireland. And our qualifying question is, who will Ireland face in the Rugby Six Nations match at the Aviva tomorrow? Our old enemies. If you didn't know, 1850 715 900, 1850 715 900. And we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and be with a chance of winning an iPad.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, array at RTE.ie. We go now to Father Brian Darcy. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm great, Ray. Lovely to hear from you. How are you keeping
yourself?
Great
to hear from you as well. I love talking to you because you have that set up in your house. So there's something very intimate and homely about it. It's different than talking to somebody in the Galway studio or somebody on a phone. It's just, I feel that you're there and you're very comfortable there.
It's lovely. It's in my bedroom. As Terry Wogan, God be good to him, used to say when I used to do it with him, he used to say, now we go across to Northern Ireland where there's a man who won't even get out of bed to speak to us. So try and be holy after that if you can.
Yeah, and of course you were doing this long before people thought of working from home and broadcasting from home, and now everybody's doing it.
Yeah. I've been doing it for about 25 years now, really.
Right. You're way ahead of the posse. How are you?
I'm good, Ray. I'm very good. I'm not as good as I used to be, but then I'm not as young as I used to be either. Mm. COVID did take an effect on me, and I think that, like everybody else in the world, if you're tuned into the world at all, you couldn't be right at the present time.
No.
You can be good, you can be grand, and you can be passive, but you're waiting for the world to happen again, and you're living in an expectation. If you're lucky, many others have decided, you know, that they can't live in expectation, and they live in a kind of depression, and that's thank God I'm not that way, but I do live in hope, but I'm not comfortable yet. Do you know what I mean? I'm not just comfortable in my skin yet.
And you got COVID in October.
Yes.
And do you reckon you have what they're describing now as long COVID? Do you know if you have it?
I don't know what the official title of it is, but it is improving now this last month or so. But for 3 or 4 months, it was anything but improving. The last time I was talking to you, I hadn't improved at all, because even my voice, it was an old man's voice suddenly appeared all over the place. I'm breathing, I just couldn't do it. Going upstairs, I had to stop halfway upstairs, which just wasn't me at all.
Okay.
And I'm reasonably fit. I do, 5 or 6 kilometres every day. So therefore, I'm that way. But I was awfully tired and I had a foggy brain. That was the worst of it all. I just kept forgetting things. I kept forgetting things, forgetting to do things, which is, again, not like me. You have to be patient with yourself and just say, I listen a lot and I listen a lot to radio stations across the world. And it's the same across the world. Everybody's in this. Nobody knows the effects of COVID at all on people and what the long-term effects of it. But then again, as I keep saying, if you're here to talk about it, then you haven't had a real long-term effect of COVID. Yeah. The long-term effect of COVID are those sadly who died.
Yes. I don't know if they're COVID related, but you've done a number of funerals in the last few days.
Yes.
And I know up the north, they're allowed 25 people at a funeral, but still nowhere near the numbers who would attend a normal funeral.
No. I was doing a funeral yesterday, and it was myself and a minister from the Church of Ireland were doing a funeral. I was saying to him, gosh, John, I'm finding myself having to work three times as hard to be a third as effective as I used to be, when you're trying to do funerals and trying to bring comfort to people and trying to make people at home, trying to get to them. So you can't even go to their house to find out things about them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And you have to keep distance. And in the church, they're scattered all over the place. And then there's people in cars looking at you on phones.
Right.
And it's a very, very difficult. You go to a graveyard and you have to say to the people, please don't come into the graveyard. Yeah. And it's just the exact opposite of we should be doing, and bereavement and grief should be. It's the exact opposite, but it's the only way we can get through it. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't be doing this, but I do that. And the extraordinary thing is, and I see it all the time, the best will in the world, when you go to greet somebody in a death, you want to hug them.
Yes. Human contact.
But it's just the thing that people almost, and people have it, the mass.
It's sort of hardwired into us, Brian.
It is, and it's the right thing to do. Yeah. It is the right thing to do. But it's so hard. And I see, I've people come in and grandchildren run to their granny and so forth. And you're to say to yourself, I wish they didn't do that.
Yeah.
In one sense, because they're putting them by the granny or themselves at risk of something. And on the other hand, I say to myself, flip me, how can you say don't hug a granny when her husband has died? I don't. That's the way we're in an area that one of the things that I'm really thinking a lot about at the present time is, please God, we'll come out of this. I have to have that hope.
But we will come out of it.
And I think we are getting better at it. And we have to maintain hope. We have to maintain that steeliness within us to come out of it. We're not going to come out of it the same. We're all going to be different. The world isn't going to be the same. And we've got to change and be prepared to change. But listen, hold on, get through it at the moment and worry about what we'll do afterwards when we arrive at that point, and at which point we'll be slightly better able to do it. But we need to do something about unresolved grief, because unresolved grief, and I've discovered this over the years, even in my own life. I remember when my father died, I was really young, and I was sent off to America to study, and I was so busy I hadn't time to even think of it. He died very suddenly, sitting in a chair, and I come back from America, and it was about 2 years later, I got this woeful feeling of emptiness within myself, because my mother had already died when I was a young student. And so I suddenly found myself that I had a home, of course. My family would always welcome me home, but I really hadn't a home because my parents weren't there.
Yeah.
And you were, you, I had this crisis of, I'm nobody's child anymore. Now the next generation to die is ours. You know, that's the way we look at it. When both your parents die.
I never thought of it like that.
Well, you know, it is. We're very good at looking at the bright side.
But the unresolved grief is hugely important, and when we do get to the other side, and we will, there's going to have to be some national marking, some national commemoration, some national expression of grief. What shape do you think that should take, Brian?
Well, I think even recognising it, that we do need one day of grief, or maybe more than one day. Yeah. I think if we actually get people into churches or communities, I think, first of all, I think if, for those with a religious bent, I do think that they find something, you know, good in the religious service. Yet, I think that's one of the good things churches do provide now, is a religious service that is meaningful to people. And I think that would be the job of local communities and parishes to do it whatever way they want. But, you know, what you want to be careful of, this, you know, there's nearly 5,000 or whatever it is number. I don't know the precise number, but it's over 5,000. Of people who have died on the island of Ireland from COVID. But, you know, how many people have had no funeral who didn't die of COVID?
Yes. They're them as well. You have to recognise them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, they have to be recognised. Yeah. And you know, it is a terrible, terrible thing. People feel awful about it. Not able to shake hands, not able to hug, not able to go to the funeral. You know, an empty church I've done funerals, people like Brian Call and P.O. McCann and people like that, who would have been big stars in the music scene. And they would have had, you know, hundreds, maybe over thousands at their funeral in the church, you know. But, you know, the last funeral I did, I think that we had a big crowd, was for poor Larry, our good and great friend Larry Gogan. Yes. I think that was the last funeral I did that a crowd was at, you know, and you saw what that was like yourself. It was a marvellous tribute to Larry.
Yes.
And so others have died in the meantime, like Brandon Boyer and all of the others who would have had the same sort of funeral. And they've had nothing, 25 or 10 in the church. People are very upset about that. Full of enjoyment.
Because we have to start the conversation about what this, you know, national sharing of grief should be when we get out the other side.
Yes. Yeah, you're quite right, Ray. And one of the things I'm learning is that now, as I'm studying the bits I can, is that the idea of how to treat grief is changing. You know, I thought it was, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is no longer
the five stages of
grief. That's gone.
Old hat.
You know? It is old hat. It was very useful in its own time, and you could see it. But it's old hat because we've moved on, as you know better than most, that psychology has moved on, and the human development has moved on. And I think there's two things are clashing in people. One is that there is almost a denial of death on one hand. And on the other hand, there's a need to celebrate a life that has just ended.
Yes, yeah.
There's a little clash. You know, we're even using language that they used to use in America for decades, and it's coming in here. They pass or pass away. Mm. And I'm not comfortable with that.
I'm not comfortable with that either. People die.
Precisely. You know, and whether it's a Christian or... First of all, you can't deny the obvious. People die.
Yeah.
Our beliefs may be something different, but the bottom line is, unless a grain of wheat dies, nothing comes from it. Mm. I mean, new life comes from nature.
Why do you think people prefer to use, it's a softer term, isn't it, to pass? They've passed.
I think it's gentleness.
Does it, in a way, back to what you just said there, does it in a way deny the reality of death?
I feel so. I think it's that's what it is. I remember years ago I was in, and if I'm talking nonsense, I know you'll tell me. but I remember years ago I was studying in America in Oaklands, and I was working in a parish in Oaklands to keep myself away, which was a largely black parish. I got a call one day to go down to a funeral home, and the funeral home home was of a white lady who had died. Now, I was only in the parish. I didn't know who had died. So I went down to it, and there was, you know, it went into the funeral home, and there was this lady sitting up in a pink dressing gown, and there was nobody there, and I spoke to her and I said, I wonder where's the person who's dead? And then I realised that was the person who was dead. It was the lady sitting up with the nails done, sitting on a chair, all dressed up, and that was the lady who had died. And there was this huge denial of death. And then I went to the family afterwards and I said, can I do something? Can you tell me something about your mother? And we could say at the Mass. And they said to me, oh, we haven't seen our mother for nearly a decade now. Just make up something yourself. And they went to the graveyard, and the graveyard was done. They sat in their cars at the gate looking at a television at me burying their own mother.
That's very sad. It broke my heart.
And I said, I hope we never come to that. And do you know what it is? I'm not sure that we're that far off it in some cases.
We were talking to Dr. Mary Cassidy yesterday. I'd read her book, Beyond the Tape, I think it's called. Anyway, she mentioned in the book, I didn't mention in the interview, that she insisted that her children wail and cry at her funeral. She went just to show that they loved her and that they're going to miss her.
Anyway, I think that's right. I think we do need to chat about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we need to also take account of those who died during COVID, not from COVID
yes.
but who had the same difficulties.
Yes.
Because it's much wider than
that's
COVID.
That's hugely important.
Yes.
Now, Father Brian Darcy, I was going to say your friends, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, are back in the news. The CDF, they do sound like some sort of, you know, operation, you know, dark glasses, dark suits, you know, people who come in threes and fours and make things happen, the CDF. So these people, McAleese claims Pope Francis raises reform only to dash it. So what happened was, somebody asked the question, German priests asked the question, can we bless a gay union? So it went to the CDF and they came back and said no.
I think it's even a little worse than that, Ray. You're quite right in that the German bishops are at this moment thinking of bringing up in their synod that they are going to ask that question.
Right.
But actually what happened was the CDF jumped in case they'd asked that question.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then they asked themselves a question that they could answer rather than be caught with the question that might come from the German bishops that they couldn't answer.
Right.
You know, so it's the old horse that you build that you can knock down.
Okay.
And what they did, they asked the question is, can a priest bless a couple's civil marriage? Well, nobody ever asked them that question. That's their question. And of course, they were saying that's an easy question for them to answer because the doctrine says, according to them, that you can't bless what is. And they use this phrase, which is the most awful phrase that I have heard, and you know, my head stood. Papers rang me the other night when it happened, and I couldn't believe that there were people who'd say this because you can't bless a mortal sin.
Right.
And that to me was the most shocking, awful thing that I've heard. Now, just put it this way: if that's where they're at, they cannot be taken seriously. You know, because even they've made a hypocrite out of Pope Francis. And the unusual thing is that Pope Francis has agreed to this statement. But I suppose I can understand him agreeing to the statement because it's unless he changes the doctrine of the church, he has to agree to the statement. Do you know what I mean?
I read an awful lot about it this morning. And one of the American Catholic newspapers, they suggested that, and this is like, it's a bit mad, but that it was thrown in front of him before he went to, where is he, Iraq or Iran?
Iraq, yeah.
Iraq. It was thrown in front of him before he went to Iraq and he didn't read it properly and he signed off on it and that's how it happened. That was one of the theories behind it.
That could be, but even that's a terrible thing.
It is a terrible thing if that happened, if that's the case. And this, will you explain to people what the CDF is?
It's the Congregation of the Defence of the Faith is the translation of it. This is a Latin phrase, but I'm bringing it into English for you. And it still says CDF, Congregation of the Defence of the Faith. And they're set up there. They are the people who have taken onto themselves enormous powers and have always down the ears. And even in the time of before the Second Vatican Council, they were rampant. And what they did was any people who were bringing into the church new teaching about scriptures, new teaching about theology, moral theology, new teaching about insights as to what humanity might be. And everything. And there were fantastic people, Skillebecks and Karl Rahner and people like that. And they had them silenced away. John the 23rd came in, called the council, and the people that they had silenced, he took them as the experts. Right. And he brought them back into the church. So they have been there. Now, Cardinal Bay and people like that are going along. They have always been. They broke John the 23rd's heart. They're actually were responsible for Humanae Vitae, you know, because the congregation and people that had John, that Paul VI had brought to Bude, made up of lay people, doctors and women, they said, no, you cannot say that contraception is wrong. You cannot say that. You can make a wonderful document which says the value of life and the value of openness to life and the value of all of that, but you cannot say paragraph 27 of Humanae Vitae, which says that it is wrong. And Paul agreed to that, but they said no.
They silenced you back in, was it 2012, was it? Because of things you'd written in the Sunday World?
Yes, 2011, 2012.
Yes.
And they did try to silence me and Tony Flannery and five other Irish guys as well. And we still are.
Have you sat in front of them?
They never spoke to me. They didn't write to me. They didn't do anything. What they did, Ray, was they sent copies of my articles from the Sunday World, copies of them, to the leader of my own congregation in Rome.
The Passionist congregation
in Rome. And they sent it to him. And they said, we're ordering you to order the local superior in Ireland to order this man to stop this or he will be excommunicated.
Right.
So
that was very stressful. That was very stressful, Brian, for you.
It broke my heart.
I was reading a clip. You gave an interview to Hot Press in 2016. You spoke to the man for 5 hours. I don't know if you remember that.
I do indeed.
But you say that it was like being abused by the church for the third time, because you were abused as a child, and then when you're in the seminary, you were abused again, and this was the third abuse.
Well, it was, and it had a bigger effect. And what the saddest, the roughest thing in me was that at that time I was totally on my own. There was nobody that I could turn to and it's one of the things that I will say, the only person who rang me at that stage was actually Mary McAleese, who was studying in Rome, and she rang me personally to say, Brian, I am so heartbroken about this, you know, and we had a private conversation, but I will never forget that to Mary for doing that to me. But I was totally on my own, and I can honestly say in the book, my last book, which was, you know, it has to be said, there was one night that I got up, I couldn't sleep. And I walked round the Grand Ninniskillen and I walked over to the Calvary in the middle of the night. And it's the first time in my life, and only time, thank God, that in the middle of that, I said, would I be better off dead? And it was such a frightening thing within me, because I've dealt with so many people and continue to deal with so many people who have suicidal thoughts. And I didn't know what a suicidal thought was to that night. But I did that night, and I changed completely that night, because I said, I can't give my life to these people. I've got to take power of my own life back. And that's what I changed that night. I said, I am not leaving the priesthood. I am going to stay in. If they want to fire me, they can. And I'm not going to pass the slightest bit of remarks on them ever again, because nobody has a right to destroy another human being for anything. Never mind the foolishness of a bit of doctrine that doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah. It's testimony to the strength of your relationship with your God that you stayed in the Catholic Church.
I would hope so. I would hope so. I have a simpler way of looking at it, Ray. Thank you for saying that. But I have a simpler way of looking at it. What you say is correct. But really and truly, the God I learned that keeps me going was the God my mother and father taught me about. That's the God that is real. and the God of the bits and pieces of every day, the God and pieces, the God who loves you no matter what you do. You know, I was brought up to understand there's no way that you can do anything that would cut you off from God.
Yeah, but and this is a horrific thing, you know. And you know, I don't believe in God, but I was brought up as a Catholic, and I'm concerned about the future of the Catholic Church in this country.
Yes,
I'm concerned about the future of humankind, and I think most people are good people. Most people are good people.
Yes,
and
yes,
to see
totally agree.
That a church that's built on love.
Yes.
Would say these things that they're saying about the gay community.
It's utterly
outrageous.
It is worse than outrageous. It is sinful in the extreme. Because, you know, even Francis himself in 2000, and I was looking at it recently, in 2013, 2015, 2016 and 2020, he has gone out of his way to say that every person is a creation of God. And whether we can bless a civil union or not is of no importance. But nobody can stop you saying that two people in love are not in love because they're sharing the life of God, because God is love. And it cannot be wrong if it is genuine love. Okay. And who needs a blessing for that? The couple themselves. Bless yourselves with the great love that you have received, and don't be waiting on anybody to tell you you can't do it.
Now, I'm just going to hold on to you. We have to take a commercial break before 4 o'clock, and we have a number of texts to get to. So just stay with us, Father Brian Darcy. We'll talk to you after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I was just thinking, Brian, during the break there, that you were cancelled long before cancel culture existed. Back, you were sort of cancelled by the CDF. It's a large, complex organisation, and is it? Should we be surprised that it seems to be speaking out of both sides of its mouth?
Well, you see, what has happened is that the clerical end of the church is 3-4% of the clerical and dwindling. And they're ruling the roost. And this is the clericalism that, again, Pope Francis has said is destroying the church. Mm. The CDF is the perfect voice of the little cleric who thinks that lay people don't matter, and that religion is a matter of the head and not of the heart. The whole point of this is that we have got to be able to say, if the church is getting in the way of God, then the church is failing, not you.
Okay. And what about Mary McAleese's call on Irish bishops to step up to the plate and say something about this latest pronouncement from the CDF?
I would love to think that they would, but I don't see it happening. The only thing I can see happening is that I think there's a movement within the church, which is 60 years late coming since the Vatican Council, that we should try to be able to look at a synodal way of doing the church. Mm. And if that comes up, then you can bring it up. But as you can see, they're afraid of that, because that's what's happening in Germany right now.
Yeah.
My view is this, and I'll say it in one very quick thing.
Yeah.
It's no point in us dabbling at the edges. Our theology of sexuality is a century out of date. It is a century out of date. I mean, it is.
Yeah. And synod is going to solve that, really, you know.
I think.
But I was just looking at the timeline for the synod. They're talking about in the next 5 years, and then implemented it then within 3 years after that. There should be
nothing left by that.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. I was going to look at the stats over the census, but there'll be nobody left by the time in 8 years' time. It's happening that quickly.
That's right. And you know, COVID has brought it forward by 10 years, I suspect.
Has it? Because people see they can survive without going to church. Yeah.
Yeah. People have found that, you know, that the inner strength of God within themselves.
Yeah.
And they have got round, you know, they've got to say, the suppression, here's a small example, and I'm sorry, for anybody who has to be told that it's a mortal sin not to go to Mass on a Sunday. So that is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
The very point is that you either want to go to Mass or
you don't. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to go to Mass, go. And if you don't want to go to Mass, a mortal sin is not the reason to go to Mass.
No.
You're not at Mass. That's a simple example that I think is very clear.
Now, they're giving to me a mirror here to go to Noak. So I'll just read you these very quickly. I'm a very happy married gay man and my family and friends blessed my wedding. Brian is amazing.
That's right.
My mother died at the start of the pandemic, no funeral. I'm plagued with guilt that she didn't get a dignified send off. I'm also filled with an emptiness and unresolved grief, as Brian described. I'm 55, yet feel lost like an orphan. And I think a few days of mourning all those who died during COVID would be a nice way to mark those people's lives. And pass is a word that allows us to feel someone has passed or moved on to better things. And somebody else says, when my dad died a few years ago, we used the words passed away. It's just a nicer way to think of him. My mother got very annoyed with us and said, no, he died. So maybe it's a generational thing. Thank
maybe
you.
It is.
Thank you, Father Brian, for including those who've died during this time from non-COVID issues. My dad died this year and I didn't get home. So it meant a lot to hear that. And that's from Andrea Moran, who's in Holland. And what a tonic to listen to Father Brian. He ticks all my boxes, pastoral, spiritual, pragmatic and positive too. Finally, someone who calls it out. Finally, a yes or no answer. Would you bless a gay couple?
I would bless, yes. If I can bless a submarine that's going to war, which there is a blessing for, I can bless somebody in love.
Thanks, Brian. Mind yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless.
Sounds that people are missing. The sound of the sea. That's all I want. To go to the beach for a walk. My 2-year-old keeps saying, Mummy, can we go to the beach? And I have to tell her no, because it's 25 minutes away. Just to walk on the beach. That's it. Howdy, Ray. I work in Shannon Airport, where times have been especially tough this last 12 months. Incredibly, I miss the sound of roller suitcases being dragged down the stairs to the low-cost airline gates. It's insane what you miss, says Chris. The sound I want to hear next is the sound of Hill 16 with thousands of fella dubs howling like wolves, cheering on the boys in blue. I miss drink up. Have you no homes to go to? You can't stay here. I'm a regular, or should I say, used to be a regular skydiver pre-COVID. Can't wait to hear door. I think that's when they open the door and then people get out and jump. I did that once. Never do it again. But Carol in Nace does on a regular basis. Larry, how are you doing, Larry?
Oh, how are you doing, Ray?
Good to talk to you again. We spoke to Larry on the 19th of February out in Walkinstown, just minutes after he received his first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And today is the big day, Larry. What time did you get it?
Yeah, we got it at around 10 o'clock this morning.
Yes. And when you say we, it's you and Kay, your wife.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe a happy birthday is in order as well.
Well, that was last week.
Yeah, I haven't seen you since, Larry. So.
Well, that's why they call me Lawrence Patrick. See, it was a week before he arrived.
Oh, right. So that's the Patrick in your name, right?
Yeah.
So how does it feel now? Because you're now completely protected from this COVID-19 thing.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, I can still raise my hand above my head. Like we did in school, we'll cut a gum Dullamock.
And do you want to Dullamock? I'd say you want to dull everywhere.
I do?
Yeah, where would you like to dull first?
Well, I'd like to go back to America, if I can get back in.
Right.
And I'd like to thank all the guys up there in Dr. Beans and our staff and Mary. She has a wonderful way of sticking needles in you.
What is it? Does she distract you or what does she do, Larry?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. Distract you and just talks to you and then send you into the other room to cool off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for part of an hour.
Yeah. So 86 was the birthday, just to tell people. You're 86. Yeah,
unfortunately. Yeah. I wish it was just 65 or something like that.
No, but you're going around the place like a 65-year-old yourself and Kay. Because you want to get back into America. I'm looking here, you'd like to visit the pyramids as well.
Well, I got to the pyramids.
Oh, you got to the pyramids.
To the pyramids,
right.
And we got to the big canyon.
Grand Canyon.
We got to a few good places, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
And there's plenty more out there to see.
Have you been to Bora Bora, or do you want to go to Bora Bora?
No, we've been there, thank God. Yeah.
Wow, well,
yeah.
I was just looking at the pictures. That's amazing there.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
And you can blame the green cinema in here when I was there in the green. I went to a cinema there when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw the diving for the Black Pearls in Bora Bora.
And then you said, I have to go there.
I have to go there.
So when yourself and Kay, well, all of this has been since you retired, has it, or?
Yeah. Well, no, since we've been doing it. Well, since I was a kid, I joined the Scouts, and then I joined the Anoiga.
Right.
And so, then we had a caravan for about 40-odd years down in British Bay, and then we went travelling.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
And how's Kay after the second jab?
Oh, thank God she's still talking to me.
I don't know if that's one of the side effects, that it affects your relationship with your wife. Of how many years are you married, Larry?
63.
Wow. Well, listen, will you give Kay a hug for us? And great to talk to you. And when you're boarding a plane, give us a shout and we'll talk to you the day before.
Okay.
Right,
that'd
Larry.
Be great.
Mind yourself. Great
talking
to you.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, and you go, see you now. Bye. That's Larry there after a second jab. Yeah, big news. Pathé news. Larry has got his second jab. Yeah. It's time for our quiz of today. Today being the 19th of March, our friends at Electric Ireland, who want to help us all make better energy choices, because the more of us that do that, the better it will be for the whole country. They're very excited about the launch of their smart meters price plans. And you can search Electric Ireland smart meters to find out more. And they've given us, the good people at Electric Ireland, an iPad to give to our winner today. On the line we have Grace Cullen in Carlow.
Hi, Grace.
As opposed to Greg Cullen, which is a place. Is that in Carlow?
Yes, that is. Yeah,
there you go. You sound like a place in your home county. So you're a teacher and a farmer.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'm busy.
Yeah, you are busy. So tell us about the farm first. A family farm?
Yes, family farm. So my mum and dad love farming. My mum's originally from a farm in Wexford, so she's used to it. And my dad farms here and I help out with the herding and the paperwork when I've some free time.
Right. And is it calving season yet?
Yes, it is at the minute.
Right. And how many new calves have you got?
We're actually not doing calves.
You're not doing calves, right.
Yes, it is calving season at the minute.
Okay. And the teaching part of it, primary or secondary?
Primary.
Right. And you want to say something about your pupils?
Yes, I think that the children of Ireland have shown great strength and great resilience. And I think that they're learning amazing skills for the future in terms of innovation. And it's really going to help them learn 21st century skills.
Yeah.
So I think they've shown great strength and I'm really proud of them.
I was just thinking that this evening, or just at lunchtime there, when I was walking out of the house and leaving my 14-year-old daughter there homeschooling, that this is going to stand to them.
Yes, exactly. I think they've shown remarkable resilience and all parents and teachers should be really proud of the children of Ireland.
Great stuff. And your plans for the weekend?
I'm going to be watching the rugby match tomorrow, so we're hoping for an Ireland win and walking here in the beautiful St Mullins.
Oh, St Mullins. I love St Mullins.
Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful place. We're lucky it's within our 5K.
Is it? So yeah. Oh, it's beautiful there. Is that the canal or the barrow that at St Mullins?
It's the barrow.
And it's an elbow in the river, isn't it? And then you can see the trees come down to meet the water there when they're in full bloom. And it's just, then there's that cafe there. It's just,
the Bullacon. Beautiful.
It's a very special place and not a lot of people know about it.
It is, yes, we love it. We're very lucky to live close by.
Yeah. Okay, you're up against Rosemary. Is it Heaver?
Yes.
I've never spoken to a Heaver before.
Right, always the first time, right?
Yeah, H-E-V-E-R. Where does the name come from, Rosemary?
The name is, it's a Sligo name.
Right. And you're in Sligo, so that makes complete sense.
Yeah, didn't move too far,
yeah. And you're painting the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
How long?
Yeah, this last 6 weeks, but I'm getting there.
It's a big kitchen or you're slow, one or the other. Which is it?
Well, I'll leave that up to you to decide.
Right, okay. What colour are you painting it?
It was a greeny colour and I'm that's why it's taken so long. It's cream now, so it's taken several coats.
Yes, because it's a dark to a lighter colour.
Uh-huh,
so that's the problem there. Are you happy with the change?
Yeah, delighted. Yeah, right. Loads of light, and it's bright and airy, and I think we need all the brightness we can get these days.
Yeah, and you used to be a teacher yourself?
I was, yeah.
Primary, secondary?
Secondary.
Aha. Uh-huh. And how long are you retired?
I just retired last June.
Oh, did you? And,
yeah.
And did the pandemic push you into retirement?
No, I had decided beforehand, but it certainly helped make my decision
yeah.
a lot easier.
Yeah. I'm very envious of you because you've been in the sea today.
I have, and it was absolutely beautiful.
It's just, you know, you come out a different person, don't you?
Totally. And the sun was shining today, even though the forecast said that the northwest was cloudy and rainy. We didn't see any of that today. The sun has been shining here all day. It's beautiful.
Right. Yeah, there you go. What's your plans for the weekend? Who's at home with you?
Two of my sons are at home at the moment. One is working from home, Mark. He's working from home. And my other son, Paul, he's living at home, but he's working in Sligo.
OK. Now, I just looked at the clock there. We're way late. We better get to the quiz.
Okay.
Five questions each.
Sure.
Grace and Rosemary, good luck to you both. If at the
good
end
luck.
There's a draw. Yeah, good luck.
Grace.
Here we go. OK. What I was about to say there is if there's a draw, we go to a tiebreak situation. Right, Grace, first question for you is this. On this day in 1870, the opera Il Guarani by Antonio Carlos Gomez premiered in Milan. In which European country would you find the city of Milan?
Italy.
Correct answer. On this day in 1906, Rosemary, Ermanno Ferrari's opera Quattro Rosteghi premiered in Munich. In which European country would you find the city of Munich?
In Germany.
Correct answer. Now, Grace, second question for you is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
So bold one you are. And who gave you leave to be kissing me?
So you can talk.
Yes, I can, I will, and I do. It's more than talk you'll be getting if you step a step closer to me.
Don't worry, you got a wallop.
You'll get over it, I'm thinking.
Well, some things a man doesn't get over so easy.
Yeah, different times. On this day in 1953, at the 25th Academy Awards, John Ford won the Best Director Award for that film starring John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Can you name it?
The Quiet Man.
Is the correct answer. Well done. Rosemary, have a listen to this.
I apologise, Goldfinger. It's an inspired deal. They get what they want, economic chaos in the West, and the value of your gold increases many times.
I conservatively estimate 10 times.
Brilliant.
Hmm. This day, 1964, saw that actor's first day of shooting on the James Bond film Goldfinger. Can you name him?
John Connery?
Yeah, Sean Connery, John, do me. Yeah, that's it. Two all. Third question for you, Grace. On this day in 2019, Mozambique President Felipe Nyusi made a national radio address to the nation after Cyclone Idai. Which of these is the capital city of Mozambique? Maputo or Durban?
Durban.
It's Maputo. Maputo we were looking
okay.
for. Okay. Rosemary, chance for you to go in front. On this day in 2018, the world's last male northern white rhino died in Kenya. Which of these is the capital city of Kenya? Nairobi or Mogadishu?
Nairobi.
Is the correct answer. You're in front by one. Grace, have a listen to this. On this day in 1953, Ricky Wilson, guitarist with that group, was born in Athens, Georgia. Can you name the group?
No.
No.
Is it the Bangles?
No, it's the B-52s. Right, now, stay there. What do you see? You're on two. Rosemary's on three. If she gets this right, you can't catch her, Grace. So
okay.
This is an important one for you, Rosemary. Have a listen to this. This star is coming like a ghost town. All the clubs have been closed down. On this day in 1959, Terry Hall, musician and former singer with that group, was born in Coventry in England. Can you name the group?
UB40?
No.
No?
You're in the right sort of area. It was the Specials. The Specials.
Oh, yes.
Okay. A glimmer of hope for you, Grace. if you get this right and Rosemary gets her final question incorrect, then we're into a tiebreak situation. I don't know if we have the time for it. Anyway, here we go. Good luck with this. On this day in 1911, the first International Women's Day saw over 250,000 men and women attend rallies in Austria. Which of these countries has a larger population than Austria? Belgium, Switzerland, or Bulgaria? a larger population than Austria. Belgium. You're saying Belgium. Austria has 9 million. Belgium has 11 million. Correct answer. Well done. So you're on three. Rosemary's on three. She does have this final question in hand. So get this right, Rosemary. You walk away with an iPad. Get it wrong, we're into a tiebreak situation. Okay. Good luck with this. On this day in 1882, the first stone was laid for the Sagrada Familia Basilica in Barcelona in Spain. Which of these countries has a larger population than Spain? Okay, which of these countries has a larger population than Spain? South Africa, Argentina or Iraq?
Argentina?
It's South Africa.
Oh,
is right. Oh, is right. We're into a tiebreak situation. Now, have I got the tiebreak question? It's on there somewhere. You're on. Tiebreak, we asked you the question earlier on. If you can remember your answers, it would be great. Here we go. So on this day in 1824, William Allingham, poet and diarist, was born in Ballyshannon, County Donegal. According to the AA route planner, we want to know how long would it take to drive from Ballyshannon in Donegal to Kinsale in County Cork? It's a long old trip. Grace, can you remember what you said?
5 hours 40 minutes.
You said 5 hours 40 minutes. It's 401 kilometres, just for your information. And Rosemary, can you remember what you said?
I said 4 hours and 40 minutes.
You were right, 4 hours and 40 minutes. Well, the correct answer is 4 hours and 54 minutes. So Rosemary, you're the closest. Sorry about that, Grace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did so well. You were so close. We'll send you down a couple of Ray D'Arcy Show mugs and enjoy the match tomorrow. Lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
See you, Grace.
Bye. Thank you, Grace.
Rosemary, thanks very much to Electric Ireland. There's an iPad on its way to Grange and County Sligo to you. Have a great weekend. See you. Well
done.
Bye.
On RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Clodagh McKenna, I'm going to speak very quickly because we've very little time. Irish chef Clodagh McKenna is a very busy woman. Not only has she landed a permanent role in ITV's This Morning, but she's launching her own range of gardenware and raising hens with great names. Hello, Clodagh.
Hello! What an intro!
Give us some of the names of your hens.
Eggy Pop.
Right, sure, love it.
Henneth Paltrow.
See what you did there? Henneth Paltrow.
Goldie Hen.
Goldie Hen, lads. Yes.
And of course, we have an Irish name. We've got one called Saoirse, which is Irish for freedom.
Yeah, but where's the pun?
or hens, we've given our hens freedom.
I see. So it's a cryptic pun. Listen, congratulations, because you're a regular feature now in This Morning with Phil and Holly.
I signed about a month ago with ITV This Morning, which is amazing. So I'm now a permanent chef on the show, which is very, very exciting. So I do live in studio every week, and now we're doing out and about. So I'll be traveling as well with the show and things like that. So it's very exciting.
I love your energy. They obviously love your energy as well. Like you even did a bit of rapping recently.
Did I?
Yes, you were sort of, you were doing a chicken pie, and you were pimping your pastry.
Yeah. That's right on the show. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did that on my best bits when we were announcing it.
Yeah,
that was quite fun. Yeah, but you know what? It's live TV, and you know what live TV is like.
Great crack.
You've got to be yourself.
Yes, of course you do. Yes,
you know, you just have to be yourself, and then you don't get the nerves.
Right. Okay. Now we said you were going to offer up a recipe for a restaurant standard brunch. Now, we won't have time to go into Huava's Rancheros. So would you just tell us how to poach an egg without using a poacher?
Okay, can I just say for the Huava's Rancheros,
yes.
I did do a video and it's over on my Instagram.
Right.
So everybody can watch it there. How to poach...
Go on.
Sorry?
Yes, so Instagram, Clodagh McKenna, if you want the Huava's Rancheros, which is a combination of eggs and chilies and tomatoes, and it's a Mexican thing and it's delicious.
It's amazing dish. And I do a whole how to make it over on my Instagram on the video there, so people can watch that and make it over the weekend. So on to poached eggs. My top tips on how to poach a perfect egg. big pot of boiling water. It's right. got to be rolling boiling. And then with a spoon, you swirl the spoon around the boiling water so that it starts a big swirl in there. Pop your egg into a cup and then get your cup as close as you can to the swirling boiling water. Pop it in and it'll all come together. You can also pop in a bit of vinegar. I personally don't like that because it definitely gives an egg.
It gives it a flavour. Yes, it does. Yes,
flavors
yeah.
it. So the best way is a cup. Swirling around, and there you go. Perfect right, poached egg. Right.
And what will you have for brunch tomorrow now if you weren't having huevos rancheros?
If I wasn't having huevos rancheros, I would be having a fried egg with harissa on top of it. Harissa is like a paste with garlic and chili and everything, and it's so good. And because we have fresh eggs every morning, I'm like blessed.
And which of the hens? Is it Henneth Paltrow? Is she the best egg giver? Who is it Saoirse?
No, Tina. So we also have one called Tina after right. Tina Turner.
Okay.
Because she right. like is like really sparky and she lays the best eggs.
Clodagh McKenna, I'm sorry that was so brief, but the next time we will give you a lot more time. Congratulations again on this morning. Right, see you, Clodagh. Bye,
Thank
bye,
you.
Bye.
Bye, Ray.
That's it from us. We are back on Monday. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. Whatever you do over the weekend, enjoy it and do it safely.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.